I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we have an unbelievable show for you this week, as we do each and every week here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. You know, I don't know how many times I can come here and say, a lot went on this week. You know what? I think I'm going to give that up, and I think I'm just going to kind of live with the fact that every week we are jam-packed with changes and things going on. A good friend of mine, who I'll introduce to you in a few minutes, said to me this weekend that he can't believe that so much is going on, it's changing every minute of the day, and how do we move forward with all of this stuff going on? What's happening out there? Well, we are on the crossroad now. There's absolutely no question about it. The things we're going to talk about today, each and every one of them is a symptom of where we are as a country, that we are divided like we've never been divided before. We are at the precipice of changing what America is and what it stands for. Our people, our 50% of our people are willing to pick up, turn around, and run in a completely different direction than traditional America has ever been. And we're seeing that by the examples of what's going on around us. So that's what we kind of want to talk about. We're going to get into the Inspector General's report. This guy has this report. We expected it in May, and then they said, oh no, it's going to come out in June. But the reason it keeps getting held back is as they dig deeper and deeper into this avocado of unbelievable things that our FBI and DOJ did, what they did is it's getting deeper and deeper. They're finding more and more information. They got to keep investigating. Now, you know my position here, Chasing Justice Land. I've said that I think, Attorney General Barr is excellent. I'm just afraid at the last minute, the swamp is going to sweep in on him and he's going to say, here's what happened, but we can't really prosecute anybody. So we'll get to know what happened, but no one's going to go hiking off there in handcuffs like we're all desperately in need of, only for the fact that we have to see justice. Can you imagine running a coup against the President of the United States, which, by the way, is a coup against you and me, and having no one held account to that? I can't imagine that. That would be so frustrating for us as a people that I think it would damage law enforcement and the criminal justice system forever. So, Attorney General Barr, we know you want to do the right thing. You have to hold these people accountable. We just found out just recently that Hillary Clinton, we always said, oh, maybe she got hacked. We find out now the Chinese had a live hack into her computer. Everything that she did, they had a copy of. Okay, so she had classified information that she lied about. It was yoga. It was my daughter's wedding. It was classified information she had on that computer. And the Chinese know all about every single thing, went live to them. That, you had a young man who was on a submarine who took pictures of himself on a submarine to show his family and friends how proud he was of his job. He did over a year in prison because it was classified. You can't take pictures. Meantime, she sits there in Chappaqua, New York, laughing at all of us. You have to fix this, Mr. Barr. People have got to be held accountable. Otherwise, none of us will be held accountable. That's part of where we're going down this road. This is another symptom of it. So that's what I'm going to ask you. We want to talk about the squad. You know, people call them the squad. I call them the odd squad, because they are so antithetically opposed to America and what we stand for, but they have a lot of traction. We cannot take them for granted. To do so, we do so at our own peril, because I think lots and lots of young people believe not only are they smart and brilliant, but they have the answers to the future, because the young people really don't understand the past. And those who don't understand the past are condemned to repeat it again and again and again. So, I'm starting to go off here. We want to talk about the water throwing at the cops. Well, it's escalating, just like I predicted. So before we go any further, I got people chomping at the bit here. Normally, I would do my own opening, because I like to hear myself talk, right? People know that. But I got the guys from the neighborhood here. And I know everybody's, I get emails, you love the guys in the neighborhood. I love them too, that's why I have them on. I actually have them here when we're not doing a radio show. They hang around, they have a cocktail, they do drink adult beverages, it's unbelievable. We have a good time, but here I have rock and roll race car Jack Patterson. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Joe. It's great to be back.
Now, you've been racing the last couple of weeks. Every time we're doing a show, you're racing. What have you been doing?
It seems like I've been at a track every weekend. I've wanted to come over and be part of the neighborhood, but boy, oh boy, it's really been keeping me busy this year.
So is it motorcycles or cars? What are you racing?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and by the way.
All of the above.
And by the way, Jim the Contrarian Giordano is not here. And yes, racing is a sport, Jim. Right?
Oh, no. Here we go. I can hear him cranking up like a cheap Chinese toy now.
Wow. Did you have to say Chinese toy? Maybe it was a South Bend toy or something.
Oh, you know, I don't know. Okay. Then
our toys made never mind. We're going to move on.
America?
Next up, we have the man of faith, the conscience of the... of the Chasing Justice team here, Mr. Bill Dallas. Bill, how are you today?
I'm chomping at the bit to voice some opinions that I've been waiting to do.
No, wait a minute. You have something to say?
I have a lot to say, Joe.
I can't believe it. You know, we get a lot of calls about you, Bill, because a lot of the listeners to America Out Loud are very pro-law enforcement, pro-military, pro-God. And when you come out and you talk about your understandings of God and the bigger world, people really connect to that. Because you know what's missing? God has been missing in so much of American life. That is part of the reason we are swirling around and around the bowl.
Well, I've often said that this country has lost their moral compass, and I'm going to do my best, my part, to redirect that.
Right. As long as you keep me doing the right thing, because
I'll do my best.
But
I don't know. You
call me to account all the time. All right. Like I said, Jim is not here. But we do have another friend from the neighborhood, a guy that wanders into the campfire every once in a while when he's making his way south for some kind of a vacation or some kind of a rally or something. We have Yankee Doodle Keith here from Massachusetts. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Very well. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, it's great to have you here as part of the neighborhood because the neighborhood really encompasses everybody. I'd like to have everybody out there come to the neighborhood, but I don't know that we could fit everybody in our studio here, but I'm glad you're here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, fellas, without further ado, let's jump right into it. The Attorney General's report, I keep saying the Attorney General, it's the Inspector General's report, is expected to come out sooner rather than later, but like I said, they keep finding new things. Keith, you were talking to me earlier today, and you said you can't believe how our FBI and Department of Justice was involved in this, and it was the higher-ranking people. It's not that my brothers and sisters who were out there in federal law enforcement. It's the higher-ranking officials.
It wasn't the agents on the ground.
Exactly.
It was the people in charge.
And as a guy from Massachusetts, a much more liberal place, you know, no doubt about it, how does that sit there? How does it sit with you to know your FBI was involved in this coup d'etat?
I was terribly disappointed. I lost faith in my own people who were supposed to be protecting me, people who were supposed to be keeping me safe, all of a sudden choosing sides. And that's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to stay in the middle. And you've heard me say, life is in the middle. They're supposed to be in the middle. But they went too far left, and they broke some laws. Thought they were going to get away with it. And now this IG report is going to show
what they did.
The truth.
Right.
What
so
they did.
You're absolutely right. So let me ask you, as a citizen of America, if you do something wrong, you expect the system's going to come get you, don't you?
Absolutely.
And you'd have to say, hey, I did something wrong and I got caught, and you'd have to deal with it.
And I take my punishment.
And you take your punishment. These guys are not taking any punishment, are they?
Not at all. They're denying it and look, almost even disagreeing with it.
Yeah, they're selling books. I can't believe you're selling books. Jack, go.
The basis of society in this country is first and primarily based upon God, the belief in, and the coverage of the United States by. Everything that we do, whether you go to court and somebody's done you wrong, they're still going to sit in that little box and they're going to raise their right hand and they're going to swear to tell the truth. Now, if they don't tell the truth, if they don't feel obligated by their God or their beliefs to tell the truth, where are we as a nation? Where are we as a nation when the FBI begins to lie within itself, amongst its own members that we hire now, remember, we employ to protect us, to keep us covered from all the bad guys from the outside.
Right.
Now they argue within and amongst themselves and are betraying each other. The whole basis of this country, the whole basis of this democracy needs to be sewn back together and needs to be sewn back together rapidly.
Thank you, Jack. And that goes right with what Keith was saying earlier today. We're having an off-mic conversation, is that this symptom. This was a symptom. This has never happened before. The FBI looks for bad guys and bad girls. They don't figure political angles. But what is this clearly? And I don't want to jump in there and say it again, but you've all heard me say it. The whole reason that they got away with this, or they thought they were getting away, they didn't expect Trump to win. This would have been buried. You never would have heard a word about this. And what would have happened the next time? They would have done the same thing in Hillary's re-election campaign. They would have went after any one of us in America that decided to deign ourselves worthy to go against her. They would have come after you and destroyed you.
And how many good people are afraid to do their duty to serve America now? Because God forbid, I decide I wanted to be president.
They will bury you.
They will bury me.
So, Billy, I see you looking at an article there about a political figure that we know we've all been a little suspicious of, this Lindsey Graham.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when he first came out against Trump, he was this, but he has been a rock-solid guy in this. I can't believe it. I have so much more respect for him than I ever had before. Go ahead.
So the headline in the article was that he's saying that the Inspector General's report on the Russian probe will be ugly and damning for the Department of Justice. And on top of that, here's what else he said. He said he's adamant about revealing what went on behind the scenes of the Russian investigation. He's looking forward to the American people learning about all what happened. Now, he's putting all this stuff out there. He wants everything to be revealed. He's not, you know, he's not about inching up on the truth. He's talking about revealing as much as possible the truth to the American people, which very few people have really...
I just had a revelation. I don't know about you, but I just had a revelation. How we've danced around. He was an on-again, off-again supporter, but now he seems rock solid. We've said this before. If Trump wins re-election, and he should, because he's doing the right things. I don't care what he says. I don't care if you don't like his vulgarity. I don't care. The country's going in the right direction. After Trump, we're going to go right back to the swamp unless there's another Trump-like character that can step up. Boom, Mr. Lindsey Graham. Is he setting himself up to be that guy?
If he's real.
If he's real.
If he's real. If all this stuff is just a show, you know, he's thinking in his mind, okay, this is what I want to do in 2024, then, you know.
But is he reading the tea leaves, seeing this is where America is now? I really need to get on board. Have none of us ever changed our mind? Have we never said, well, I believe this, but now I really need to believe that? We all have, haven't we? Go.
Speaking of changing your mind, Joe, you questioned Lindsey Graham. You said on again, off again. You weren't sure about him. I heard, and I don't know if it's true, because you know how fake news is these days, but I heard on a conservative radio station, so I tend to believe more. The reason why Graham is so staunchly behind him is because he went to the White House and sat down and spoke with the man and saw who he really was.
So seeing is believing is what you're saying.
May have some personality quirks. He's a little rough around the corners, but he's still a good man, and he's still a good president. And I think Lindsey Graham saw that in just that short.
So, Jack, what do you think? Do you think I'm onto something here? That he's looking to be who's the? Because we're going to go back to the swamp. We need the next guy.
We can't.
It could be. It could be a play to put his hat in the ring, as they say. This all goes back. What's happening right now goes back to something that I've said on shows previously. The new electronic age. Everybody is plugged in. Everybody knows what everybody is doing. The politicians of the future, I could be very wrong, but the politician of the future is going to have to be clean. You're going to have to be clean in college, as we've seen. You're going to have to be clean in high school, as we've heard. You're going to have to be a clean and decent person from the beginning to win a presidency in the future. Right now, there's so much convolution that we'll actually consider somebody like Elizabeth Warren, who has been lying for the last 50 years, and consider her in the running for the presidency.
And she's actually ascending to the lead position in the Democrat Party.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Keith, you're from Massachusetts.
Pretty
what
much
do you think
everything
about
that has come out of her mouth that I've heard has been either a lie, untruthful, or just plain rhetoric.
So, Bill, what is it about the human spirit that would allow them? Do you think? And this is our basic argument. Because how many times have we all talked about? We all have people that we know that we love that are liberal on the left side of things, and we love them. They're wonderful people. But Why would they believe anything that came out of Elizabeth Warren's mouth after she's been caught lying so many times? Why would you believe her? Is it her message you believe in, or what is it?
First of all, what is patriotism? Right? Patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government only when it deserves it.
Who said that?
My buddy Mark Twain. But look, going back to Lindsey Graham, right? He said what he said because they're investigating the investigators, and he pointed to three investigations of the investigators that are taking place. One by his committee, one by the Connecticut U.S. Attorney General, or U.S. Attorney John Durham, who was appointed by the Attorney General, Bill Barr, to conduct the probe, and one by the Justice Department Inspector, General Michael Horowitz. Why are we investigating the investigators?
Right, because they went wrong. It's clear to all of us.
Absolutely.
It's clear to every one of us that has actually looked at the facts. You could say, what did we all say as the neighborhood? When this came out initially, we all said, hey, listen, doesn't seem like Trump would really do this, but if he did, then he has to be held to account. But then after a while, we start to see the investigation and realize this was all a sham. It was a crystal clear sham, but half the country still believes he did this stuff. They're going even. Nadler and those people in Congress are still doing impeachment stuff.
If you say a lie over and over and over again, you tend to believe.
Well, now who said that famously? Goebbels with the now there's too much throwing around in a Nazi thing, because you know what? Which is going to lead me to the next place I want to go. This whole thing with now calling people Nazis, with calling people, you're like Hitler. You realize what Hitler was, that we use that so cavalierly now to slap people with that kind of a thing. That was evil on earth. That was a demon running wild that almost destroyed the world. And now they use a guy like Trump who just believes America should be great, should be a leader. Well, he's like a Nazi. I'm more and more disturbed by that kind of a comparison, Jack.
Well, we've all heard the terminology that's been thrown around by some of our Congress, calling every white person secretly, not knowingly, a white supremacist. You are a white supremacist, we've been told by one of our congressional members.
If you're conservative. If you're conservative.
Yeah. Right. You're
And I agree with Joe, throwing around the name of Adolf Hitler is to throw around the devil incarnate.
You're throwing around acid when you do a thing like that. And we used to never do it because we realized the innate horror of what that man did to the world, that we understood that was a unique evil. Now they throw it because they don't know history. That's why we're condemned to repeat this again.
And the disgusting, revolting comments of calling our immigration detention centers on the border concentration camps has been absolutely 100% condemned by those who survived it. They've been on TV. They're on YouTube. They've made public service announcements. They are not concentration camps.
That is the biggest insult.
It's disgusting.
To those poor people.
Absolutely. Fellas, we are just getting started here on Chasing Justice, and we're moving right along. We'll be back in a minute with round two, because I'm telling you, we're not even fired up yet. This is just the foothills of the mountain we're about to climb. We'll see you in a few minutes here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free, and you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice. Ding, 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 ding. Round two. Here we go. Now, listen. the off-mic stuff is almost as ridiculous as the on-mic stuff, because you have passionate people here, because we care about our country. You know, the guys in the neighborhood, the reason I brought them on this show is because they are every man and every woman when we bring the girls on, because they are just as, everybody's opinion is important. And we go into such conversation when the mic goes off, when it's commercial time, that I say, stop. I make you all stop talking because I want to get it on mic because it's something we all need to talk about. Now, I want to jump around a little bit because round one had so much going on, I'm making notes for myself. First of all, Bill, go back to that quote by
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, of, you know. Now, if everyone in America, if we've done nothing else on Chasing Justice, we have schooled you in Mark Twain having Big Bill here with all of these things. So what was that quote again? Go ahead with that, because I want to talk about it.
This Mark Twainism was, patriotism is supporting your country all the time and your government only when they deserve it.
Now, when I heard you say that, I was in the middle of 14 thoughts, but I'm drawn back to that because this guy, I always liked him. I liked Mark Twain. But since you've been on this show, he is so poignant, so connected, so right in the moment of everything we're talking about today. Supports your country. Now, that's where the nationalist nutcases say that's what you're all about. You support your government, right or wrong. No, we do not. His point is 100% right. We are America. America is exceptional for how we were founded, for what we're founded for what we're supposed to be. We are always connected to that, but to our government only when they deserve it. Because we've talked about this. How many times have I said, having these rules and these laws that we want to put in place are great when you have our better angels government in charge. Mm-hmm. But when you have our bad angels in charge and they want to use those laws against American citizens, they can hurt you really bad. So that quote, I think, completely makes it clear when they go, Trump is this nationalist nut who wants to do Nazi stuff. No, what he's saying is America at its essence, at its founding of what it was, why it was so exceptional and so different from every other part of the world up to that time. And you only respect that government when they do the right thing. I love that.
Back in the 60s, that quote would have was more like America, right or wrong. But that's not government right or wrong. Government.
That's the difference, Bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As you were saying it, that's where I'm going. America in the ideal of traditional America, of what it is, with all our warts and all of our scars, we always get better. We did bad things and we've evolved and we've gotten better. It's because that ideal of America is unique. It is exceptional in the world of mankind.
Look what we did back in the 60s. We had Woodstock going on at the same time as men were landing on the moon. How crazy is that?
And at the same time, we had soldiers fighting in a foreign
Vietnam.
Country to stop communism who wanted to shut it all down and kill everybody.
And at the same time, we had people in the streets protesting that war.
Right.
And that one of the worst times in the history of America. The whole world stopped, stood together, and looked at the moon.
And Keith, that's absolutely
through all that horror. It is still possible to come together.
The beginning of a famous piece of literature. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, mm-hmm. And it really was.
And you know, that was a pivotal moment because America was born. We went through our initial changes so much so that we rattled to the point of a civil war. Because we had things go on that we had to hash out. And this is, we think civil war is impossible. But I say we're in the middle of the cold civil war right now. But we see a lot of symptoms of the hot civil war coming because we take it for granted in America that we are isolated from those kind of things that happen in Europe, that happen in other parts of the world. We think we're isolated from that stuff. There was a time here during that original civil war in the 1800s where brother fought brother, cousin fought cousin, father fought son. People died in these battles because of these great ideals, all to maintain what America was. I say we are not that far away from the next set of bullets flying, and I've been trying to warn about it, saying as we approach this crossroad, we are now at this crossroad, we are 50-50. The only thing left is somebody to light the gunpowder. And I don't want that to happen, because this time around, it's not going to be quite as easy. But go ahead, Jack. You got something.
Because the sides have been so isolated. Everybody has taken a side. Everybody is saber rattling, and everybody is hiding inside their fort. No one wants to talk. Keith and I this afternoon, we watched a very, very good thing on television. It was the ultra-conservative Ben Shapiro came together with Bill Maher. And they sat down on his TV show, and they hashed it out. They were really talking about things that some they didn't agree upon, but they understood each other.
Are we supposed to agree on everything?
No. Absolutely not. If we
can't we have a conversation?
We've agreed to disagree.
And that's okay.
That's okay. That is okay.
Isn't we can't talk, America? Though, today.
But
we
when it starts getting into the Antifa movement and the conservatives clashing, then we're all off kilter. And that's why I say over and over again, this country has lost their moral compass. They do need God in this country again.
Now here's where we're going to my bigger theme, because everybody out there in Chasing Justice Land, you know there's always a theme that winds its way through every single one of my shows. Sometimes I tell you up front. Sometimes I tell you at the end. Sometimes Bill hits it right, right on the head and forces me to talk about it. When I see... And you know I go to church, right? I pray. I try to do the right thing. I am certainly not the best of people. I'm on my journey. I'm trying to find my way. But I understand that God is what guides us. But the best thing I ever heard was, God ain't here making this world go right. He's challenging you. It's got to be tough, and it is hard. But Bill, when you say a thing like that, I think and I look and I go, okay, we are all on this journey. And the thing we've taken away, you say we've lost our moral compass. We used to have a generalized belief that there was something bigger than us, that it was God. When man becomes bigger than God, you fall into chaos. Aren't we seeing that chaos around us in every aspect of our lives?
Because God is losing his support within our nation. He's not getting the support. The people aren't supporting him.
I disagree.
I think religion is shrinking.
I think the conservative side of this country is waking up. I do believe that they are starting to have a bigger voice in things. I do believe that they are making themselves more known now than they ever have before.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but they don't have a big enough voice. I don't disagree with they're getting a bigger voice, but they don't have a voice because of the liberalism on the news. Like you just said earlier, if you say something enough, people will tend to believe it to be the truth. And what does the news media do? Bill, you know as well as I do.
Over and over again,
and the conservative voice is lost in the din.
Now, here, let me throw this in there, fellas. When you're smart enough, when you're educated enough, when you are worldly enough, you start to realize that God was simply a myth that weak people could cling to. You know, like Obama said, you cling to your God and your guns because you're weak, you're afraid, you can't control your environment. They had bears sneaking into their camp, killing them. We're beyond that now. We have creature comforts. We have internet. We have radio shows on podcast, right? We have everything. God is kind of like, he was nice to comfort us, that thought until now, but there really is no God. That's where we've kind of gotten to. That's the belief.
I want you to finish that, because I know that's not what you believe.
No, it's not. What I'm saying is, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
It's that new thing called sarcasm. And as my alternate personality, Jayok, always says, what good are your prayers?
Jayok. So, Bill, I will continue that, because as anybody who knows me knows that I bring out... these points of view in what I see and I feel doesn't mean that's what I believe. What I think, that's where we've gotten to. I think, unfortunately for our country, we think we're so smart. We think if we can't see it, it's not real. How many people have said, hey, if God is here, he'll show up Tuesday and he'll do this? Why does he let children die with cancer? Why does he let wars rage on where innocent people, where 18-year-old boys go and die? And I'll tell you why. Now, this is Joe's opinion, all right? So everybody out there, and I know a lot of you have your own opinion. My opinion is this. God gave us an opportunity to live on this earth, which is a gift beyond anything we could imagine. And he says, you go and do the right thing. I am not going to jump in at every instance and save things and make things. You and the people I've given life to, you do the right thing. We're not doing the right thing, which is why there is all this misery. When that child dies of cancer, that is individually horrible. But it's really meant for the people who are left behind. How do they respond to that death? Mm-hmm. That child is in heaven. I believe that. I believe that child goes immediately to heaven. It's how the rest of us, does our faith maintain or do we step away? Because it's easy to go, well, God, you didn't do the right thing and be angry with God. Now, who wants you to do that?
I will tell you this. I have 5 grandchildren. I have 1 on the way coming in January. But I believe with all my heart that I have 4 grandchildren in heaven because of the miscarriages my children
of course
had.
Of course.
So to me, they're there, and right, I'm going to see them one day.
And Bill, that's the bigger picture of faith. Now, you see how this show jumps around, because it's not really stream of consciousness, but it is about what everything intertwines. All of this connects together. So when I look at that and I say, how do bad things happen to good people? I wrote articles about that. Mm-hmm. How do you believe in a God that lets a 17-year-old kid who's a good, decent, superstar kid in his family, goes to church every weekend, get killed in a car accident? Mm-hmm. Where is God in that? This is where people want to stomp their feet and go, no, there is no God. But the reality is that that's about your faith, the faith of those who are left behind, because this world is only about you get an opportunity to do right by God. It's not about have a good time. It's about do right by God. That happened to you. How do you respond to that?
We are all challenged to do the right thing, regardless of whether it's to forgive someone who offended you in such a horrific way as murdering your child, forgiving that person, or if it's just a simple thing as, you know, somebody slaps you on one side of your cheek, you turn the other cheek. You know, the matter of forgiveness is all ingrained in each of us if we just use it.
And that is where you find God. Not in him coming down and fixing your problem. Not in him. He wants you to have faith in these events that happen to humanity. You're only here 100 years if you're very, very lucky. The rest of eternity is really long. And that's what we've lost sight of. That's part of religion used to teach us. It's not about here. It's about there. And we kind of, we step away. We're all about us now, this moment. We're all narcissists.
Selfish.
We're selfish about this moment. And it's not about that. All of this that's going on around us is really about, are we bigger than this? Are we seeing the message?
This is why we've been given free will. We can make the right choice,
and
that's
my point.
We can make the wrong choice. And it's up to us to do just that.
Bill,
that's why I believe God allows certain bad things to happen, to allow others to make
that's exactly the choice what you just said. He allows it. He doesn't cause it.
He doesn't cause it.
Free will caused it.
Now, it's frustrating when he don't stop it. That's where we get angry with him. How come you didn't? But at the same time, it's about how do you respond, Bill? It's about faith. Faith is about there's something bigger than we are now.
And what did the people who are around this poor person who lost their life at such a young age or is suffering from a horrible, debilitating childhood disease, how does that make the people around them better?
How do they?
How
does
that, that's exactly
how
right.
does that get them closer to
how
God?
How do they minister to their needs,
exactly,
not your own?
Exactly. God didn't hurt that child.
It just happened.
It just happened.
And how do you respond to it?
He's giving you a chance to grow from that pain.
Well, there you go.
That's great.
Now you... Say it again.
That's great.
Say it again. Go.
God
Yankee Doodle Keith had a good one.
Give us a chance. Go ahead.
God only didn't allow this thing to happen to a bad person. He just gave all of us an opportunity to grow from it, to become better people.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Isn't that? See, this is what's lost. We don't teach this anymore. We allow it to go. We've taken God out of every part of our life. We are so arrogant to think that we are here on our own. We've come to realize we are here on our own, that God was a nice myth to get our weak relatives through this crap, and now we all understand we are completely alone, and all we have to count on is other human beings. Guess what? You got a big problem. So I am thrilled we've got to that point. Keith, that was brilliant. Let's hear it for Yankee Doodle Keith Golf Club. See, that's why he's in the neighborhood. I wish he'd wander into the neighborhood a little bit more often, but he's here this week, so that's good. All right, so I'm going to change the gear a little bit. We got a couple of minutes at the end of this segment. We talked about the squad. I call them the odd squad. And we were talking about God, so let's jump into Israel a little bit. The Israeli government says, these two people, Tlaib and Omar, they can't come to Israel because they talk Israel down so bad. We're not about that. You don't get to come here and put our country down. We're not a toy. We're not a talking point for you to slap us around. We're in the middle of a battle for our lives, and they wouldn't let them come. Jack.
Isn't that truly sad that Israel can stand up and do that, and I admire that and respect that, but yet in this country where they are representatives, they can sit and bash the president, bash the country, bash the systems, and the people that they disagree with.
Yep. Now it's interesting. Let's take that apart for a minute. Because I respect Israel, too, for looking what's in their best interest and doing what they thought. You can't come here. Because we are in a battle for our lives. We don't need you hurting us. They also want to do the boycott of Israel. They're all involved with that, which is nonsense. We should all support Israel. They're the only democracy in the Holy Land. And they are our arch ally in the world. All right. So let's go beyond that for a second and say, don't we sit here on Chasing Justice and don't we attack things we don't like in our country? Haven't we attacked those things?
We attack them, but we do it in a way to find solutions.
Betterment.
Better. Yeah, we don't just do it and then, say, oh, these guys on the left, they're terrible and they're wrong. We add, but this is what we feel could be a better response to that.
Sure, but aren't those on the left who are attacking our country doing the same thing?
Yeah, but
they think we're wrong and bad, and they want to take us to a better place.
They bring the problem, but yet they don't bring the solution.
There you go. That's why rock and roll race car Jack always ends up with a number one on the side of his car, and he brings us to where we need to be. We will be back in a minute with round three, and you can see this is going to end up round four, round five, round six. I wish we had offline stuff we could do, but the neighborhood will be back in a couple minutes here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, this is a bruising episode of Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe. Listen, I'm going to direct you to a couple things. First of all, go to the AmericaOutloud.com homepage where you can see all the articles that I've written, but not only me, there are so many talented people on this network. Go listen to Malcolm on Viewpoint, Voice of a Nation. Listen to Lieutenant Randy. Listen to Ava. She is amazing. Listen to Ray Ray and his poetry. This guy's unbelievable. I could go on and on and on, and I probably should. This is the voice of America. Now, that's a show that we have here with Malcolm, but the reality is it is free speech. It is people saying what we feel. So this station, I am so proud to be a part of this station. When Malcolm asked me to do a show a couple years ago, I was flattered because who wants to listen to Lieutenant Joe? And then I came on and connecting with all of you out there, this has been amazing because it's great to be able to say what this, to give my friends the voice to say what's on their mind because this is the voice of the people here. So America Out Loud is a tremendous radio network. Tell everybody you know. I would love it if you would reach out to me. You can get me on Twitter at Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global is where you can reach me. At Pangaro Global. If you want to email me, so many people email me. I love your emails. I answer every single one of them. It's jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. So go listen to the other shows. There is something for everybody. This is a 24/7, 365-day-a-week network. There are so many different programs that are of interest, things you might not even think would interest you. You listen, and the hosts are so good, it's really amazing. All right, the other thing I'm going to ask you to do is this. We talk about my company here because this is what I do. I've been blessed to have a career in law enforcement, and I retired, and now I do what I want to do. I do what I get to do, and I could have done anything. What I choose to do is keep people safe, to use my skill set to help people stay safe in schools, in businesses, anywhere. TrueSecurityDesign.com. Please go take a look at our website, TrueSecurityDesign.com. We have training for businesses. Does your business train? Do you and all of your fellow brother and sister employees train on how to survive an active shooter incident? Do you know de-escalation techniques? How do you talk somebody down who starts to get upset? Does your school do that? Does your kid's school do that? Do they prepare them to survive these violent incidents? Because as we've said before, they're not going away. But we have to learn to adapt as we learn to try and stop them. So do me a favor. Go take a look at TrueSecurityDesign.com. Email me. Join us on Twitter. And thank you so much for being here every single weekday at 3 o'clock. I am so blessed to be able to connect to all of you. And usually I throw a bunch of shout-outs here. So I'll try and think of a couple of them as I go. But this is a great place to be, and I can't say enough about it. So thank you. I'm humbled by the fact that I get to be here with everybody. So, boys, back in the neighborhood. We're going in round three. We've all calmed down. Everyone took a shower. We went out. We hit the punching bag a little bit to relax a little, except for Bill. Bill's ready to drop somebody on the floor. He always is. We were talking about the squad. And Tashib, am I saying her name right? Tlaib? Rashida Tlaib, a congressman, and Ilhan Omar were disinvited from the congressional group that went to Israel by the Israeli government, because they are so anti-Israel that Israel said, you can't come here. You just cannot come here and attack us.
Use the word, Joe. Use the word.
Anti-Semitic.
Thank you.
They're anti-Semitic. And it's blatant anti-Semitism. Now, we don't let people be anti-anything other than, you know, Christian. You can be anti-Christian in the world. That's perfectly okay because, you know, Jesus, you can slap him around all you want, which is going to be really surprising to a lot of people when their time is finished here and they show up and he goes, hey, how you doing? All right.
Yeah, that's there will be payback at the end.
There's karma showing up in the name of JC when he gets there. But anyway, these two people were disinvited. Then the Israeli government turned around and said to Rashid Tlaib, she wanted to visit her grandmother in the what they call the occupied West Bank. It's only occupied because they attack Israel. And the government said, okay, you can come for humanitarian reasons and visit your grandmother. And then she says, I won't go there because it's horrible, it's racist what you're doing, you're using me as a way to... You know what? You wanted to go visit your grandmother. If you didn't want to attack Israel, you would say, thank you very much, I just want to go visit my grandmother. The fact that you won't go because you don't get to run your mouth anti-Israel stuff and anti-America proves the point that that's why you wanted to go there. You could have just went and seen your grandmother. You could have shut your mouth and seen your grandmother. You chose not to do it.
And your grandmother is the one paying the price.
Absolutely, Bill.
Don't forget the boycott.
Now, the boycott. They want to boycott Israel because, you know, Israel is the problem over there because Israel sends thousands of rockets on a weekly and monthly basis into... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got that backwards. It's the territories that send thousands of rockets into Israel constantly... Well, the Israelis, they build these tunnels underneath the fences to go... No, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It's
now, wait a minute.
The
one
other side
is
builds,
supplying them, one side is attacking them.
Right. So, I get it. I want peace in that region. I want the Palestinians to have peace and to be able to thrive and have their children grow up in their religion. If that's what they want, grow up in their religion and be peaceful and have a wonderful life. You don't get that by attacking the Israeli homeland and government, by building tunnels so you can go kill innocent people to make your point, by shooting rockets into places where people live. That is not how you solve this problem. I am so frustrated with this because you can be angry with Israel because you don't like a policy. That doesn't make you anti-Semitic because you don't like a policy they have. But the reality is they have a right to defend themselves just like we do, and they are under attack constantly by their neighbors. And for these two women, these American congresswomen, to to want to go there and attack them in their homeland, that is anti-American in and of itself. You can have a let's name the policy. Don't name the people. I'm sorry, I'm off. I'm wound up on this one, boys. Who wants to jump in? Somebody save me here. Go.
My perspective on it is this. Netanyahu and the people of Israel who stood up against this anti-Semitism and these people who are provoking them, to cut them off, to not allow them into the country, shows a lot of strength. Strength that the United States of America used to show against enemies of the state.
Jack, that's actually a pretty good point. You know, we used to stand up for America. We can disagree. Bill, you said it before. We agree to disagree. We can have disagreements about everything. Try having a disagreement with somebody on the left. Do you actually talk about points? Do you make your, or do you devolve immediately into name? You're a hater. You're a racist. I just want to have a conversation. How do we solve this problem? They can't have a conversation with you. That's what's so difficult. Billy.
How difficult is it to talk to someone with a pretty conservative point of view and calmly, when someone is shouting and spitting in your face, and all you want to do is get your point across? I don't want to cause any real problems. All I want to do is have you hear my side of it. That's all I want to do. And yet someone is beating me with a stick, then I can't recognize who it is because they're wearing a mask, and they've got all these people behind them throwing things, and the noise, the cacophony is overwhelming, and I just want peace. It doesn't happen today.
And we could work that out. Jack, you're chomping at the bit here, man.
Yeah, you know, he's speaking of anarchy, speaking of Antifa.
I agree.
The people that are doing these things don't realize what anarchy will bring. Anarchy won't bring this open, free society where you get to do whatever you'd like to do and live off the land or be a communist or whatever it is.
It won't bring any answers.
What it will bring is a foreign nation to dominate what's left of the United States of America. And don't think that it won't happen, because anybody who's still alive, who was a resident of Holland, Norway, Germany, France, will tell you it was a nice, bright, sunny day when they came over the hill and took over my nation.
Jack,
and it can happen again.
Jack, you're absolutely right. And I say it's not even a foreign nation. These people think that if they can overthrow what they consider to be fascist government, that they're going to usher in an era of peace. No, they're going to usher in tyranny, because the default position of humankind is tyranny. Because that's where we have always been. It's America that has been exceptional and different than the entire model of humanity forever. And if you take out the American form of government, if you take out what America means, you are not ushering in this beautiful utopian world of socialism and everything they think it's going to be. You're ushering in a tyrant. And it may not be a foreign government. It'll be somebody here who will rise up, and we will disappear off the face of the earth. We will be a page in a book that no doubt they will tear out and throw away because they don't want anybody to know about it.
They're going to laugh at that word called democracy.
Absolutely.
Because it's only lasted so, Keith, 75 years.
You bring up a good point, which is where I want to go. You know, these shows go so quickly. What do we see in the signs that this is happening? I keep talking and writing about, oh, we're approaching the crossroad, and we see all these things. A couple of weeks ago, Malcolm from Malcolm Out Loud here had said to me, Joe, what do you think as former law enforcement, with their throwing water at the cops when they're making arrests? And I said that it is a symptom of our country falling apart. It is a symptom of people who are now turning their aggression against the traditional authority of America. And the law enforcement, our police officers, men and women, that is that. There was recently a project, a situation in the projects, in the Marcy projects in Brooklyn, where they were having a Marcy Day. That's what they call it in the apartments where they live. It was a celebration of living there. I think that's a beautiful thing. Barbecues, well, it turned into some fighting. There was some gunshots, and the police show up. Well, the police were physically and verbally attacked by everyone there, to the point they sent 6 police officers to the hospital because they were throwing bottles and concrete and stuff off the roofs attacking the cops. That is an offspring directly related to throwing water at the cops and attacking the police officers, and the cops backing off because the people on the left who run these kind of things see the police as the enemy And therefore, they want to defang the officers, take back everything, and have them just be, I don't know, security guards in the neighborhood, but you allow chaos to develop. And that is a clear example of where we're going.
You got to tell me, Joe, you got to answer a question for me. Because they're going to come out and somehow, some way, connect those violent attacks against those police officers to what they refer to as their trash bin, which is Trump's hate speech.
Yeah, of course, they're going to directly connect the fact that the police are the foot soldiers of conservatism, who wants to go after these people, wants to attack them. They were just having a barbecue. Well, the problem was they were having a barbecue, but there was fights at the barbecue where innocent people that were attending the barbecues were getting hurt. There was gunshots at the barbecue. How do you allow people who live there to be victimized by other people who live there? That's why we have the police. They are there to protect and serve everyone. And when people are getting hurt, people are getting shot, when there's chaos, when there's violence, the police go in to protect people.
My question, what would have happened if the police did not respond to anything? Gunshots fired. Cops didn't show up.
Antifa's dream.
Sorry. Cops didn't show up. So, are they mad at the cops now? Or are they happy?
Well, Keith, I'll tell you what will happen. The police, our law enforcement officers, our uniformed law enforcement officers, our municipal police, our state police, all these police officers, these men and women who are out there who are really dedicated to doing the right thing. They really are. This is what they do. They believe this stuff.
And they're sworn to it.
And they don't care what color you are. No. They don't care what country you're from. No. They're out there to do what's right. They're out there to attack evil, go after the evil and protect people from the evil that happens, from the people who want to hurt other people. If they didn't go and answer these calls, lots and lots of very innocent people who live in those communities, in any community, in our community here, if we call for the cops and they don't come because our neighbor's at the fence doing something negative, we all suffer from that, because at some point I'm going to retaliate, and now you have open warfare. You have no one there to control it. You have complete chaos.
When you have groups like that, or you have a group like Antifa, when you call the police one day after all this nonsense continues to occur and the police don't show up, groups like that would have a field day. They would be overjoyed. Just remember, when something bad happens, the ambulance isn't going to show either.
That was my point, Jack.
Right. When you shut down all these responders, they attack, because they attack ambulance people too. And it's lots of different communities.
So how do we help each other if we can't come?
Well, I think the people that live in these communities where this chaos is going on, they have to stand up and say, enough.
You know, let me tell you from personal experience. I lived in Washington, actually lived in Maryland for a couple of years, and some of my best friends were firefighters and law enforcement. I went out on a call with a couple of my firefighter friends just to tag along with them and see how things were going. And we got to this one area that was known for violence and whatnot. We got there, and there were gunshots. The people that they went to put the fire out at their building, they were shooting at the firemen. And then I was amazed at that. But what I was really amazed at was the fact that the firemen fired back. They actually carried handguns and they defended themselves. I was totally amazed by that attitude. And this is going back in the early 70s. That was a long time ago.
So, Bill, you look at that state of chaos. I'm talking about something that happened a few days ago in the Marcy Projects in Brooklyn, New York, where the community attacked the police. When we start attacking our police and fire and our first responders, our emergency people...
For coming to help us?
For coming to help. Because they're not attacking those individuals. They're attacking what they are as a symbol of the authority. And they're trying to fight back at authority. We have told everyone in the last 2.5 years... The rallying cry has been, resist, resist, resist. What are we resisting? We're resisting decency. We're resisting traditional America. We're resisting the people who want to go out and help you. That resistance is all for a purpose. And the purpose is to destroy what was, to make what they see as new. And we all know, if you're clear thinking, show me an example where in the world that that has ever worked. Mm-hmm. I'll wait. I'll hold my breath for a minute, but you're never going to tell me where it... Oh, well, Venezuela. Weren't they the third largest economy on the planet? They had everything, so much money for all their people. Where are they now? They're eating garbage and their pets because this socialism has taken them down this hill. The fact that 50% of Americans see this as an opportunity tells you we've done the wrong thing education-wise.
The people coming across the border into this country are looking for freedom. They're looking for democracy. They're looking for the American system in the American way. They're not coming here for socialism. They're coming here to escape it.
Mm-hmm. But you look at a number of our inner cities, like Baltimore, and Los Angeles is now considered one of the worst run cities in the country. You got people eating off the sidewalks. You got people sleeping and eating and
defecating on the streets.
Defecating in the streets.
How is that good for those people?
Well, not just those people, but here you have the economy tanking. You have all sorts of, and this is an area that was supposed to be thriving because of the movie industry and all these other
money making things, right?
Wealthy areas, and look what's happening in that city.
You know, and I want to say we started out with we wrote down our topics, so we like to talk about it. We had so many topics, and we've got to like 2.5 of them. Jack?
Yeah, stick with us later, friends. At the end of the show, we're going to talk about hot tub etiquette. We're going to lighten it up a little bit.
You know, we're at the end of this week's episode, and we still have so much more to say. But I think, Bill, I'm going to end on your commentary. Because you know what? Every one of those blighted American cities, they're filled with something. They're filled with our brother and sister Americans. Doesn't matter their race, their religion, their creed. They are Americans. They are entitled to the same America that you and I are entitled to. We have to fight for each other. We have to stop believing this nonsense and letting people tear us apart, telling us there's some utopia down the road, as opposed to just looking at the traditions that have been set up, which is the best that mankind is ever going to see.
If you think we're right, contact us. If you think we're wrong, contact us. It's all about communication.
The fight never ends. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Thank you very much for listening, my friends.